Okay, we're going to continue. And once again, I want to thank Rav Schechter for covering both lectures today because of Rabbi Schechter's illness. As you can see from the first half of this, Rav Schechter has not run out of things to talk about. So, once again, Herschel Schechter.
After we drink the second cup of wine and we recite the bracha Asher Yavonu, we go and we wash for bread, not for bread, for hamotzi, and this time we say a bracha, al netilas yadayim, and we say the bracha over the matzah and the bracha over the maror. Very often, when we have an obligation to fulfill different mitzvahs, we don't really have a seder, a specific arrangement, an order in which we have to fulfill the mitzvah. So we try, like in the morning we put on the talis and the tefillin. So we try to juggle around different considerations. Should we put on the talis first and the tefillin? Should we put on the tefillin first and the talis? From Shulchan Aruch there's a whole discussion how we determine which mitzvah should be fulfilled first. On Yom Kippur, the Mishnah says that the hakrovas hakarbanas have to be done dafke in this order. If you do it out of order, you're not yet to the mitzvah. On Pesach night, there is a seder lachatchila deraisa. The Chumash says, al matzah samram yachlu, he's supposed to eat first matzah and then afterwards eat the maror. And b'diyeved, the seder is not miyaked. If someone will tzedrei, someone will first have maror, then have matzah, b'diyeved, he will be yotzei. But there is a seder lachatchila, there is an arrangement. The Torah tells us the arrangement lachatchila, first to have the matzah and then to have the maror. That's why we call the Pesach night is called the Seder. We have a specific arrangement how to fulfill all the mitzvahs. Kadei shuchat karpat yachat is a Seder lachatchila. In fact, in Yiddish folklore, they say that the Jews were never mesudah, they could done anything, and that once a year that we have a Seder, so we say, manash tana alayla, say, what's going on? We never do anything in order. Everything is out of order. Rabbi Samson Reshel Hirsch has such a strange comment. Why the whole tradition of the Torah Shebal Peh, why Menah Shemayim did the Rabbanu Shalom cause the whole Masor of the Torah Shebal Peh should be transmitted through the Tana Rabbi Akiva? So he points out Rabbi Akiva was a descendant of Gerim. He came from converts, the Gemara tells us. So Rabbi Hirsch points out that the Jews were never known for Seder, and the non-Jews were. So the Rabbanu Shalom had to have that the whole Torah Shebal Peh should go through Rabbi Akiva, who had this Goyish streak in his blood about putting things in a systematic order, so that the whole Torah Shebal Peh should be transmitted in a mesudadika fashion. Remember, I was once sitting at a wedding and reading a little pocketbook where this was quoted. So I was sitting next to Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky. So I show it to him. Wow, did you ever hear of such a thing? So his eyes popped out. So he was sitting next to Rabbi Yisrei. So he passes it on to Rabbi Yisrei. His eyes were popping out. That the Rabbanu Shlomim had the Torah Shebal Peh go through Rabbi Akiva in order that his goyish blood should put everything in order in a seder. Anyway, on Pesach night there is a seder lachatchila deraisa. That first the matzah and then the maror. Some people are allergic to wheat. The lachatchila it says in Shulchan Aruch that there's a reason why we choose dafke to have matzahs made of wheat. Kabbalistic reason. But if a person is allergic to wheat, then he's going to get sick. So he should eat some other kind of matzah. The matzah can be made from oats or whatever. The maror is an issue exactly which vegetable, the different traditions, what you use for maror, that's a big issue not to be discussed right now. On Pesach night, the Gemara says the matzah has to be eaten the heseba, in a reclining position, because the matzah was zecher lecheres. The maror represents our avdus serving as an eved, so the maror bedavka should not be eaten in a reclining position. What do you mean? You recline, you show that you're a ben chorin. From the abrakaisis, the Gemara says two of the abrakaisis should drink in a reclining position, and two do not have to be had in a reclining position. But because there were two different opinions, whether the first two cups of wine or the second two cups of wine, which two you have to drink in a reclining position, so the Gemara says that you may as well drink all four in a reclining position, even though the whole din of Hesed is only with the Rabbanon. If you're not sure, why don't you say Sveika the Rabbanon Lekula? If you're not sure, you have a right to be Mekel on a din of the Rabbanon. So the commentaries explain, if you'll be mekalahin, mekalahe, you'll do away with the whole haseba. You say the first two, you don't have to have haseba, safek darabana lekula. The second two, you don't have to have haseba, safek darabana lekula. So you'll never have any haseba. So two out of the four for sure need haseba. You have to drink in a reclining position. So the Gemara says, we have no brera, we have to drink all the four cups of wine in a reclining position. The Gemara says, this din of haseba applies equally to the women as it applies to the men. And the practice today, the common practice today, is that the women do not eat the matzah b'haseba, the women do not recline, only the men recline. So what's going on? So on the Shulchan Aruch they explain that the women rely on the Raviyot. The Raviyot was one of the Bali HaTosfos, and he claims that today nobody eats in a reclining position. Years ago, that was how the wealthy goyim would eat, and the Jews would also eat in a reclining position, reclining on the left side. Today, he says that nobody enjoys eating in a reclining position. It's a pain in the neck. It's very annoying. So his opinion is that nobody has to eat the haseba today. The whole din of haseba doesn't apply. It doesn't indicate that you're a ben charin. It's just a nuisance. So the question is, why only the women? How can the Rav Yoh was a man, he wasn't a woman. Why do only the women rely on the Rav Yoh? Why don't the men also follow the Rav Yoh? So this is a big question. But that's there's a good answer for some other occasions. So the Maisa, the women rely on the Rav Yoh, whose opinion is that you still, not because the women are potter, the women are just as mechuyev as the men in a seder, but the women follow the opinion of the Rav Yoh that her seder doesn't apply today at all. And the men are machmer, not like the Rav Yoh, to require haseba even bizman hazeh. Charoses, we dip the mor into charoses. So what in the world is charoses all about? So the Mishnah presents a machlokes, a dispute among the Tanaim, whether charoses is a mitzvah mid the Rabbanan. It can't be a mitzvah mid the Torah. It doesn't say a word in the Chumash in Tanakh. You look through the whole Tanakh, it doesn't appear. Charoses is clearly not a mitzvah in the Torah. So one time is of the opinion charoses is a mitzvah in the Rabbanon. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, he thinks charoses is a mitzvah in the Rabbanon. What's a mitzvah in the Rabbanon? Well, what kind of a mitzvah in the Rabbanon is it? So the Gemara has three different opinions. If you put together the Talmud Babli with the Talmud Yerushalmi, there are three different views. So one view is that we should make a zecher letit. The Jewish people were slaves and they were building all of these buildings in Egypt. So they were making this thick cement, so the charoses should be very thick to reminisce about the cement that the Jews had to manufacture in order to build all the buildings. Piece of a Ramses. The other position in the Gemara is Zecher LeTapuach. The Pesukim tell us Tachas HaTapuach HaRaticha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed his love for the Jewish people Tachas HaTapuach. What exactly is a Tapuach? So in modern Hebrew we refer to an apple as a tapuach. In biblical Hebrew, the word tapuach doesn't mean apple. In fact, apples didn't exist in the Middle East in the days of the Tanakh. That's what they tell me. So in biblical Hebrew, Tesis points out in the end of time. In biblical Hebrew, the word tapuach means a citrus fruit. So the second opinion in the Gemara is that the mitzvah of charoses is we should reminisce zecher the tapuach. We should have citrus fruits in the charoses. Most people, when they make charoses, do not have citrus fruits. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, he's supposed to put in, squeeze in some orange juice, or put in the pulp of an orange or something, a grapefruit, something like that. And then the third opinion that's mentioned in the Talmud Yerushalmi is that the charoses is supposed to be zecher l'dam. There was so much Jewish blood that was spilled, not Christian blood, Jewish blood. There was so much Jewish blood that was spilled by the Egyptians. In Egypt, they were killing all the baby boys, so we want to make a zecher l'dam. So we have a lot of red wine that we pour into the charoses. So that's why in Shulchan Aruch they have a whole concoction. So they say we want to follow this opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, because the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah passes like Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik that charoses is a mitzvah with the Rabbanim. So we want to have all the three ideas represented by the mitzvah. So we have charoses that has some citrus fruit in it. It should have, the Gemara says, it should have the acidic taste like orange juice. And then it should be very thick like cement. And then we pour in a lot of red wine, if you have red wine, in order to make a zecher l'dam. And the other opinion of the Tanaim is that there is no such thing. Charoses is not a mitzvah min haTorah, it's not a mitzvah de Rabbanan. It's simply for health purposes. What's so healthy about charoses? So the Gemara says that we know that there are non-kosher bugs and there are kosher worms. Sometimes worms are kosher. Okay. But even if you have kosher worms, if you eat them while they're alive, so the worms are going to be crawling around inside your kish because it's not healthy. So the Gemara says we want to kill the worms. If you have some kosher worms in your romaine lettuce, so you want to kill the worms. So, and on Yom Tov, you're allowed a shechti, you're allowed to kill the worms. So the Gemara says you should dip the mor into haroises in order to kill the worms. It's for health purposes. And if you have clean romaine lettuce, so you don't need any haroises. Sure. So you don't. It's haroises nishke mitzvah. That's a dispute in the Mishnah whether haroises is only for health purposes. So if you're healthy enough, you're not worried about the worms, so you can dispense with the whole haroises. So no, haroises is a mitzvah midrabban. So the Rambam in one place in his commentary on Mishnah, the Rambam writes that the accepted opinion is haroises is not a mitzvah at all. The haraya, that if it would have been a mitzvah, he would have said another bracha, shekadishana b'mitzvot of tivano, over haroises. So the fact that no haggadah has such a bracha is a clear indication that the accepted opinion is haroises is not a mitzvah. But the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah writes the reverse. He writes haroises is a mitzvah, and you still don't recite any bracha. So we are machmer, we have charoises, but we don't say any bracha, and we try to have charoises in such a fashion that it satisfies all the opinions. You have the zechel tapuach; it has the spunk of the acidic flavor of the orange, of the citrus fruit, and then we have first we start off that it should be thick, like cement, and then you pour in a lot of red wine before you dip in the maror, and you have the zechel adam. It just says in Shulchan Aruch that if you live in a community where there may be an Alilas Hadam, they may be claiming that the Jews are using Christian blood. So the matzah, so you should use white wine and you should not pour in red wine into the haroses. It depends where you live. The meal itself should be fleishig. On Shabbos and Yom Tov we always have fleish, especially on Yom Tov when there's a mitzvah of simcha. And in the Mishnah, two minhagim are recorded that run as follows. In the days of the Beis HaMikdash, they had to eat the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach had to be broiled. You can't eat it fried or cooked or boiled or anything else. It has to be dafka broiled in a specific fashion. What kind of a broil? You can't use a metal broiler. You have to use a wooden broiler. Okay. Wooden broiler is going to get burnt. So the Mishnah tells you how to use a wooden broiler. After the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so two minhagim developed. We still have Arayim HaZeh, two minhagim. Many have the minhag that we make a zecher l'mikdash. We eat dafka broiled flesh on Pesach night to reminisce of that effect. And in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, the Korban Pesach had to be broiled. Many Sfaradim have that practice. By most Ashkenazim, overwhelming majority of Ashkenazim, the practice is the bedafka we do not eat broiled on Pesach night. So no one should think that we're eating a Korban Pesach. You're not allowed to eat karbanas outside of Yerushalayim, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So that no one should think that we're eating the Korban Pesach. So our minig is, most people have the minig is that we bedafka do not have broiled. At the end of the meal, we have the afikoman, and that's a big, deep, dark secret of what in the world is the afikoman supposed to represent. You eat the matzah in the end, what is it supposed to represent? So, Taisus, all of the Baliyat Taisus claim as follows. There is a din that the Korban Pesach has to be Nechal Al Hasova, which Taisus understands to mean you have to eat the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal. You don't wash and say amoytzi and then eat right away Korban Pesach. You have to eat the Korban Pesach at the end, sort of as dessert. If you're eating the Korban Pesach at the end, so you're supposed to eat the Korban Pesach with the matzah and with the mar. Pesach matzah mar. According to Hillel, you eat all together in one big sandwich. So we eat everything at the end of the meal, the Pesach, the matzah, and the mar. So the Taisus is of the opinion that even though today we don't have any Korban Pesach, the matzah that we eat at the end of the meal, that's the main mitzvah of matzah, because in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, the main matzah would be at the end of the meal, together with the mora, together with the Korban Pesach. So how can we say, bracha shekadishana b'mitzvot of tivano al achilas matzah, the beginning of the meal? We should say hamoitzi, and then wait till we eat the afikoman, and then say the bracha shekadishana. So Taisus says, based on the Gemara, no. Even though we have in mind not to be yoytzi with the matzah that we eat in the beginning of the meal, that's hamaisa. When you say al achilas matzah, you have in mind not to be yotze with that matzah. You have in mind you want to be yotze with the matzah at the end of the meal. But still, since we're eating matzah, so we say the bracha now because we plan to fulfill a mitzvah later. That's what Taisa says. You plan to fulfill a mitzvah matzah at the end of the meal, the main mitzvah al achilas matzah at the end of the meal. The Rosh disagrees. I've never heard of such a thing. Rosh usually goes along with Taisa. The Rosh is from the end of the period of the Baliyat Taisa. The Rosh disagrees with the Taisus, and he thinks that when you say the bracha l'achilas matzah in the beginning, you yotzei the matzah then. The afikayman is a zecher l'korban pesach. In the days of the Beis Hamikdash, you used to have a korban pesach at the end, and we don't have any korban pesach today, so we make a zecher to the korban pesach. We eat a kazayis of afikayman, and that's what the Maharil writes. The Maharil lived in Germany, 1400s, I guess. So the Maharil, 1400s. So the Maharil writes that the minhag is that we eat two kizaisim of afikayman, zeche to the korban pesach, that they used to eat two kizaisim. So the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch say, what, when, where, how? What's he talking about? Where did he dig up such an idea that eat two kizaisim of the korban pesach? Eat one kizais. The Mishnah say eat one kizais is ginuk. So they write. So there's the Taz and the Magen Avraham, the extended commentaries on the page, and the Shulchan Aruch write that the Maharil was written by a student of his. The Tshuvas of the Maharil were written by the Maharil himself, but the Drushes Maharil, the Sefer Maharil, where he starts off Nis and Nir, Sivan, and tells you when you say Tachnan, when you say Slichas, and which Piyutim, and which Yotzvus is saying, when you don't say, and so on, all the Menhagim, that Sefer was written by a student of the Maharil, and every so often there's a mistake. And over here he must have made a mistake. He probably meant to write in the name of the Maharil, you should have two kizaisim of afikayman, one zechel pesach, one zechel chagiga. On erev Pesach, everybody participated in two korbanos, and on Pesach night they ate a kazayis of the korban chagiga and a kazayis of the korban pesach. So we're missing two korbanos today. So that's probably what the Maharil meant to say. We should eat two kizaisim of the afikayman, one zechel pesach, one zechel chagiga. That's how the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch write in the 1600s. Later, when people started to learn Rambam, and these are the commentaries on that, they probably didn't have any Rambam. When they started to learn the Rambam, they came to the realization, no, there are a lot of Maharils, which were assumed to be misprints, or something wrong, the Talmud made a mistake, and then they realized, no, the Maharil is just quoting the Rambam. The Rambam says, the Rambam understands the din ha-pesach nechal al-asova differently, not that you eat the korban pesach at the end of the meal. Tosfos learns pshat, HaPesach Nechal Al HaTzova, you eat at the end of the meal, and that's it, the last part of the meal. The Rambam understands Ochlem Es HaPesach Kedei Lizbar Mimenu. The Rambam says L'chatzchid, you should have two kezeisim of the Korban Pesach, and b'dievet, if you ate one kezeis, you yotzei. But L'chatzchid, he writes, you should have two kezeisim. That's what it means, Al HaTzova, you eat Kedei Sviya from the Korban Pesach. So the Maharil was just quoting the Rambam that the afikayman that we eat at the end of the meal is a zechel of Korban Pesach, of which they always used to eat l'chatzchila two kizaisim. So that's what's recommended in Shulchan Aruch. Then, of course, in Shulchan Aruch they recommend that you have to have a big stomach to eat all of this. I used to learn b'charusa with a fellow who was a doctor. So he told me, Dr. Naftali Neuberger, his parents sometimes half a year live here in Miami. So Dr. Neuberger told me that Leil HaSeder in New York City is the busiest night for the emergency ward. That there are people who get sick from eating too much matzah, or from eating mora that they're not allowed to eat horseradish, they get sick, or from drinking too much yayin abakosis, which is utterly ridiculous. We want to show that we're free people, so we get sick. So you have more Jews, more Orthodox Jews in the emergency ward on Leil Pesach than all year long. Scandalous. Ridiculous. So if a person is not allowed to eat so much, or he can't eat so much, he shouldn't do all these chumras. This is if a person is up to it, he should eat two kizaisim of afikayman. If he's not up to it, he can dispense with all afikayman. I remember I live in Washington Heights, so one of the rabbis in the Breuer community used to be Rabbi Schwab. He passed away many years ago, so he told me that the last years of his life he wasn't allowed to eat bread. So he told me all year long he doesn't eat any bread or anything. Just the first night of Pesach he eats one kizayis of matzah. The second night of Pesach he eats one kizayis of matzah, not the same kizayis. There's a question how big a kazayis is. So he said the first night is a real yek. So he said the first night of Pesach the matzah is menatorah, so he eats a larger kazayis, a chatzi beitzah. Second night of Pesach matzah is only with the rabbanah, so he eats a shlish beitzah, because there are two opinions how big the kazayis is. That's all. If you're not allowed to eat bread, so you eat just the bare minimum. You follow Rabbi Shvat. But if you're not allowed to eat that, so you don't eat that either. If a person is sick, there's no mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to perform a mitzvah and to get sick from it. You've got to get sick initially. So if one is not going to get sick, so on the Shulchan Aruch they quote the L'chatzchila Chumra, when you say the first bracha, Hamoitzi Lechem and Horetz, Alachilas Matzah, you should have two kizaisim of matzah. What's that? Two kizaisim then? One kezayis because of Sudat Yontif. Every Shabbos and Yontif you eat a Sudat. One kezayis for the mitzvah matzah. On the assumption these are two different mitzvahs. It's one mitzvah all year long to have a Sudat on Shabbos and Yontif. So for that you need one kezayis. And that you eat from the Shlema. Every Shabbos and Yontif you have, you say Hamotzi Ova Lecha Mishnah two Shlemas. They should have a kezayis on the matzah Shlema. And then on Pesach night there's a separate mitzvah, an independent mitzvah to eat matzah that you should eat from the prusa, from the broken matzah. So you should eat one kezayis from the shlema, one kezayis from the prusa. This is the opinion that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch from the Rosh. Mishnah Berurah has a long footnote. He says, why did the Shulchan Aruch quote such a chumrah? Most of the Rishonim disagree. He says, the Mishnah Berurah says, most of the commentaries on the Gemara think that this is exactly the same mitzvah. There aren't two different mitzvahs, a mitzvah to have a Sudas Yontif and another unrelated mitzvah to have matzah. The mitzvah is to have matzah for the Sudas Yontif. So the Mishnah Berurah thinks that this is a wild chumrah, to have two kezesim in the beginning. So those who enjoy eating matzah anyway, so you have two kezesim when you say Hamoti al achilas matzah, then you have another kezayis for the korach, then at the end you have two kezesim for the avikon. If you don't enjoy, if you're not allowed to eat so much matzah, if you have one kezayis, one kezayis, one kezayis. If you can't even have that, they do like Rabbi Schwab. The first night you have one kezayis, second night you have a smaller kezayis. Okay, each one should consult his doctor and his rabbi to determine. A lot of doctors here in Miami, so you should consult your doctor and your rabbi, whichever order, and determine how many kezayis of matzah you're going to have. We have this strange practice on Pesach night. We break up the halal into two parts. We say half of the halal before the meal, half of the halal after the meal. We never break up the halal all year long on Yom Tov and on Rosh Chodesh and Yom Ha'atzmaut, whatever. Nobody breaks up the halal. You say either you say the halal, you don't say the halal, or you say chatzeh halal. What kind of business breaking up? Very strange. So one of the commentaries on the Gemara in the end of Tochim, Rabbi Nizrachi Halevi in the Sefer Hamor, explains as follows. He quotes a Mishnah in Maseches Tainis, where the Mishnah says that if there's no rain in Eretz Yisrael, nothing is going to grow, and the animals are going to die, and the people are going to die, and it's a grace of tzara. So the Tanoim would be goes a Tainis every so often. If there's no rain, you have to be goes a Tainis, that the Rebbeinu Shlom should bring the rain. So the Mishnah says, what happens if the whole community, everybody in Eretz Yisrael is fasting, there's no rain, it's a sakana, and then in the middle the prayers are answered and it starts to rain. Starts to rain gavaldik. So it says everybody goes home and they eat, and then they come back to shul and they say halal together. So the Gemara says, Takasha, why don't you say halal first? It's such a rush to eat. They're afraid. It's not that Kalbach is going to say halal is going to take 2 hours. Halal is going to take 20 minutes. The whole halal, how long? 15 minutes. How long does it take to say the halal? So the Gemara says, why don't you go to shul, say the halal, thank the Rebbeinu Shlom that the rain came, and then you go home and you eat the meal. So the Gemara says, no, the halal, zoktach besser, the halal will be recited with more gishmak if the person ate first. So the Gemara has the expression, ein omrim halal, ela al keres meleya v'nefesh tevei. When your belly is full, and you're in a happy mood, then the halal sings itself better. The halal will be recited with much more gishmak. But we don't do that on Rosh Chodesh and on Yom Tov. We don't eat before davening. Some people do eat, but not because of the halal. Lubavitch, they daven so late, so they have to eat before. You can't fast till after Chatzos. Yeah. So why? How come all year long, when we say halal, we always say halal before breakfast? So what's that? This on a Tainis. So the Tosfos Yom Tov on the Mishnah is there. At the end of Tainis explains there are two different types of halal. This is a halal b'shas hanes. A nes, a Yeshua. When the Rebbeinu Shlom gives us a Yeshua that we're concerned there's no rain and there's a sakana for the whole community, so then we would go to Taif. So then the Rebbeinu Shlom is kind enough to give us rain, so we have to recite halal. So that halal, b'shas ha-Yeshua, b'halal b'shas ha-nes, b'shas ha-Yeshua, that halal should be recited after eating food. The halal on Rosh Chodesh, the halal on Yom Tov, it's a halal zechel nes, or a halal out of Simchas Yom Tov, that's a different kind of halal. Halal b'shas ha-nes should be recited in the middle of a meal. So on Pesach night, we say in the middle of the Haggadah, "B'chol dor v'dor chayiv v'adam liras esat mekibah huyatim in Mitzrayim." And every generation, we have to have the feeling as if this is the most difficult mitzvah. Eating the five kezesim matzah is not so difficult. Matzah, maran, avikah is not so difficult. This is the most difficult mitzvah in Atar. "B'chol dor," this is a mitzvah in Atar. The Mishnah has The Chol Dovedar in every generation, a person has to have the attitude, Kiluhu Yotzim Mitzrayim, as if we just experienced Yetzias Mitzrayim now. That if not for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch took us out of Egypt so many years ago, we would still be in Mitzrayim, we would still be Avadim. We have to have the sense as if we just left Mitzrayim. And then we say, L'fichach anachna chayovim l'halo. That's why we have an obligation to say halo. And this is a halo b'shas hanes, halo b'shas ha-Yeshua. So because the halo on Pesach night is not reminiscent, it's not in celebration of the fact that the Rabbanu Shalom did Yetzias Mitzrayim centuries ago. No, it's a halo b'shas hanes, b'shas ha-Yeshua. We have to say halo as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu just freed us from Egypt now. So that's like a different kind of halal. It's like the halal in the Mishnah that's recited when it rains, when the begoyz are tainus. So that halal has to be recited in conjunction with the meal. So the main part of the halal is really the halal after the meal. Usually, by most people, when you get to the halal at the end of the meal, so they run through everything. They don't have a nigun for that. And the children don't have any gematrios or rajitavis for that. They usually run through the second half of the halal. So the Balamor says, no, the second half of the halal after the meal is the more important part of the halal. That's the halal that's recited al keres melei of the nefesh teveya. But we want to begin a chutz part of the halal. We want to say part of the halal before the meal to demonstrate that the meal tonight is a different kind of a meal. It's regular supper. We want to eat supper. You're hungry. And it's a mitzvah of Sudas Yontif. Okay. But we want to show that it's a Sudas Hoidoya. In the days of the Beis HaMikdash, when a person had a Yeshua, a person had a refuah, somebody was sick or somebody was in a Torah and he was redeemed, he was relieved, so he would bring a Korban Todah and he would express his thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the presence of all of the guests whom he would invite to come to the meal. So Pesach night, we start a little bit of the halal before the meal, and the main part of the halal is what we recite after the meal. In fact, the Mishnah records the dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, how much of the halal do you say before you begin the meal? Beis Shammai say just a little bit, and Beis Hillel say a little more. So that's just in order to be koveh the Suda as the Suda Saidoya. But the main part of the halal is really the halal after the meal. In Yiddish folklore, they tell a story about the Yeshuvenik. They have Yeshuvenik stories, like they have stories about the Chelim. So they have about the Yeshuvenik. The Yeshuveniks were very religious, but they lived on farms, and there were no minyanim. They didn't know any dinim. They didn't know how to observe. So they tell the story about the Yeshuvenik got married, and the first year he's making his own Seder, so he says Kiddush on Pesach night, and he tells his wife, okay, give Vetcher. She should give supper. So she said, what do you mean, supper? I remember my father used to say Nishmas, he used to say hello, no, on Pesach night, don't you say hello? So he says to his wife, what don't you understand? When Pesach falls out on Shabbos, you say Nishmas. When Pesach falls out on Rosh Chodesh, you say hello. It's not Shabbos, it's not Rosh Chodesh, it gives Vetcher. It's time to eat the meal. But that the Yeshuvenik is not correct. We always say Nishmas, and we always say Hallel. The Hallel is because B'chol Dover Dor Chai V'adam Liris Esatz Mekilu Hu Yotzim Mitzrayim L'Ficha Chanach Nachayovim L'Hallel. This is considered a Hallel B'Shas Hanes. At the conclusion of the Hallel, the main part of the Hallel is the Hallel after the meal, after we've had the Sudas Haidoya. The meal is to put us in a happy mood in order to be able to recite the Hallel after the meal. So when we conclude the halal, the Mishnah says we should recite the final bracha. We said there were four brachas alakos. First Kiddush alakos, then Asher Gyalanu alakos, then we recite Birchas Hamazon alakos. And the fourth bracha is the Birchas Hashir. What kind of a Birchas Hashir? What is it? I know what Bar Minim Zaynis is. I know what Shahakal Nibir, what is Birchas Hashir? So the Gemara is not sure what is Birchas Hashir. So the Gemara has two suggestions. One suggestion is that at the end of the halal, you should say Yehalalucha. That's the Birchas Hashir. No, the stuff you always say Yehalalucha at the end of the halal. What's different Pesach night? So Tosis explains, no, all year long, whenever you say Halal, you say Yehalalucha at the end. So the Mishnah says that depends on the Minhag HaMakom. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah composed the Nusach of Yehalalucha, and they said it's optional. If you want to say Yehalalucha, say. If you don't want to say, don't have to say. Our meaning is that we say. On Pesach night, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah instituted that you're obligated to say Halucha. So one opinion in the Gemara is that the Birchas Hashir that you say at the end of the completion of the second half of the Halucha, that's the more important part, is the little paragraph, Halucha, that we say all the time at the conclusion of Halucha. The other opinion in the Gemara is no, that the term that appears in the Mishnah, Birchas Hashir, is referring to Nishmat Kol Chai ending with Yishtabach. that we say every Shabbos when we say Pesukei D'Zimra. So normally in the weekdays you say Baruch Shomar, then we say Pesukei D'Zimra, then you say Ishtavach at the end. And on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you say Baruch Shomar at the beginning, longer Pesukei D'Zimra, and a longer bracha b'yishtabach. The bracha begins Nishmas Kol Chai and concludes with Yishtabach. In fact, they quote Rav Moshe Leib Sasseva, who was a famous Chassidish Rebbe. So when he used to daven for an amen on Shabbos, he wouldn't start from Shechinat. He would start from Nishmas Kol Chai, and he would have a nigun. They would go all the way from Nishmas Kol Chai through Yishtabach. My father, who just passed away 2 weeks ago, my father, Hareni Kaporis Mishkova, mentioned as a child he went to the yeshiva in Vizhnitz in Europe. He came to America when he was 16. So he says he remembers in the Vizhnitz yeshiva every Shabbos, I don't remember what he said, the Rosh Yeshiva or the Rebbe, either one or the other would daven for an avet, and every Shabbos he would start from Nishmas Kol Chai with a beautiful nigun, start from Nishmas Kol Chai through Yishtabach. So that's called Birchas Hashir. That's what the Gemara says, Birchas Hashir. Unfortunately, a lot of people know what it says in the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, that if you come late to shul, so you can abridge the Pesukei D'Zimra. So you abridge, streamline Pesukei D'Zimra and say Baruch Shama Ashrei Yishtabach. 1, 2, 3. If you come late, you got to catch up. So the Chayyadim quotes in the name of the Vilna Gaon that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you can't make such a Kvitzus HaDerech. You have to say a little longer. It has to be Baruch Shama Ashrei Nishmas through Yishtabach, because Nishmas is the beginning of the bracha. The Shabbos of Yom, how do you know? Because the Mishnah refers to Nishmas Kol Chai, the Birchas Hashir. That's the beginning of the Bracha of Yishtabach for Shabbos and Yom. So the Gemara has these two ways to read the Mishnah. The fourth cup of wine on Pesach night is designated for the reciting of the Birchas Hashir. So what is the Birchas Hashir? Is it Yehalalucha that we always say, the short paragraph that we always say at the conclusion of the Hallel? Or is it the long bracha that begins with Nishmas Kol Chai through Yishtabach? The Gemara says they're both beautiful ideas, therefore we follow both opinions and we say both. So what do you mean you say both? So some of the old Haggadahs that you get in the mail from the Diskin Orphanage Home or whatever every year, so every year they send you another Haggadah, so some of these old Haggadahs have a text of a bracha that nobody follows today. There were those who followed the Rashbam in his commentary on the Gemara himself, and he says you really say both brachas. You finish the Hallel, you say Yehaluch, and you say Melech Meholol Batish Bachot. Then you say Nishmas Kol Chai, and you finish the Bracha of Yishtabach. You literally say two Brachas. So that opinion is not accepted. Nobody today says, maybe in the 1600s, 1700s, when they were printing these Haggadahs, there were people that said two Brachas. I don't think there are any communities who say the two Brachas today. So exactly how do you combine these two Brachas of Yehaluch with Nishmas Kol Chai? So in the Shulchan Aruch, they write that there are two nuschot. There's Nusach Ashkenaz and there's Nusach Svart. And the Hasidim don't have Minik Svart, but they follow Nusach Svart. So all the Hasidish Haggadahs will have the Nusach Svart. So each family has to decide if you're Yekis or if you're Nusach Ashkenaz, then everybody should have Nusach Ashkenaz. And if you're Hasidim or Svartim, you should say Nusach Svart. It's not right to have half of the people say one Nusach, half of the people say the other Nusach. If you look at all the Haggadahs that you get in the mail, half of them will be Nusach Ashkenaz, half of them will be Nusach Svart. You got to make up your mind in advance, take a vote or whatever, decide whether you're going to say Nusach Ashkenaz or Nusach Svart. The difference is the following. Nusach Svart goes backwards and forwards as follows. They say till the end of Hallel, they don't say Yehalalucha. Then they say Hodol Hashem Ki Tov Ki V'Yolam Chazda, the 26th Ki V'Yolam Chazda. Then they say Nishmas Kol Chai through the end of Yishtabach, up until and not including the final bracha. They don't say the bracha. Then they say Hallelujah at the end of the Yishtabach. And the Nusach Ashkenaz, you go in order, you go straight. Nusach Ashkenaz, I say Nusach Ashkenaz, so I remember it like that. So Nusach Ashkenaz, you say the Hallel, then you say Hallelujah up until and not including the final bracha. Then you say the 26th Ki V'Yolam Chazda, and then you say Nishmas Kol Chai, and you conclude with the Bracha of Yishtabach. You have to decide in advance. That's what the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch say. Each family has to take a vote and decide in advance. You can have a lot of sons-in-law, Hasidim, Misnagdim, whatever. So you make up your mind in advance who's the majority here, and you determine whether you're going to say Nusach Ashkenaz or Nusach Svart, and then make sure that everybody has a Haggadah that corresponds to what you voted on. children often have a competition when they get together after Pesach. So they're all vying with each other. Each one says, we finished the Seder later than you. They finished at 3 o'clock, they finished at 4 o'clock. Who had most to say? My children would always say, we finished the whole Seder, all the avocados before Chatzos. Earliest. Who finished earliest? Why earliest? The Mishnah says the Korban Pesach has to be eaten by midnight. You have to finish eating the Korban Pesach by Chatzos. So the Tanoim had a dispute. This was an old tradition. The Korban Pesach has to be finished by midnight. So the Tanoim had an argument. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah with Rabbi Akiva had an argument. Is this a din min haTorah? Learn that from a pasuk in Chumash, or is this only a din min haRabbanim? The Gemara says, but bottom line, the din is a din. Whether it's a din min haTorah, din min haRabbanim, you have to follow the din. You have to finish eating the Korban Pesach by midnight. So the Gemara says, no. The difference is, what about matzah? What about avocados? What about everything else? If it's a din min haTorah, that it doesn't only apply to Korban Pesach, it applies to the matzah as well. So you have to finish eating everything by Chatzot. And then the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Ran and Megillah, who says you should finish all the avocados by Chatzot. If the whole din of Chatzot by Korban Pesach itself is only the Rabbanon, so then the Gemara says the Gzerim of the Rabbanon only was instituted by Korban Pesach for the following reason. If you'll permit people to eat the Korban Pesach after midnight, so you're going to have all the children and grandchildren going to be saying Gematrios and Rashi Tevis all night long. Till they're going to get to eat the Korban Pesach, it's going to be dark outside, but it'll be after Alos HaShachar. Alos HaShachar is way before sunrise. It's pitch black outside. You can't, the normal person can't tell by looking outside that it's Alos HaShachar. So if they'll eat the Korban Pesach after Alos HaShachar when it's still dark, they'll be chayv kares, because you're violating an Issa eating nicer. Eat the Korban Pesach after Alos HaShachar is an Issa Noisar. So to prevent people from eating Noisar after Alos HaShachar, they said, you're not allowed to eat after Chatzos. So if it's only a Gzerim of the Rabbanim, because the person made by mistake eat after Alos HaShachar, then the Gemara says the Gzerim of the Rabbanim only applies to Korban Pesach, then it doesn't apply to Matzah. What will be the terrible tragedy if he'll eat the Matzah after Alos HaShachar? So he'll be eating before Shachar. So he'll be Alabavitcher one day a year. The world doesn't get, can he? You're not allowed to eat before davening, but you don't make a gzeirah with the rabbanon to make everybody crazy that you have to eat the matzah before chatzos, because they made by mistake eat before shachar. So the Gemara says that's the difference, is the din of chatzos that you have to finish eating the Korban Pesach by midnight. Is it a din min haTorah? Then it applies, carries over to the matzah in the morah as well. The whole Haggadah has to be finished by midnight. But if it's only a din with the rabbanon, then the din only was instituted with the Rabbanah regarding Korban Pesach, and they never instituted it regarding Matzah Mar and the rest of the mitzvahs. On the Shulchan Aruch, the recommendation is quoted that you should try to complete the entire Arba Kaisis by midnight, by Chatzos. They say over there, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was a very pleasant person, that I know myself. Very pleasant person. So he always tried to finish everything. He always tried to finish the avocados by chatzos, but he didn't want to hurt his wife's feelings. So if his wife made a lot of courses, he wouldn't. Sometimes I tell my wife, let's leave out the next two courses. We want to make it by chatzos. So Shlomo Zalman was a very pleasant seller. He wouldn't tell his wife to cut out any of the courses. She worked so hard for a whole 2 weeks before Pesach. They let her serve everything, but he would try to cut down on the commentaries. He would try to move the Seder on in such a way that he would make. He would finish all the avocados by chatzos. And as nisht is nisht, because mikra din, basically we really did a dispute in the Rishonim, how do we pass them? Do we pass them that chatzos is a din min haTorah, or is chatzos only a din min haRabbanon? So most pass them that chatzos only a din min haRabbanon. In which case, you don't have to finish the whole Seder by chatzos. But because there is a minority opinion that chatzos, they have to finish everything by chatzos, so that's why we are machmel lachatchila, whenever possible, by the avocados as well. I remember as a child, my father used to get in the mail the JWB Circle, the Jewish Welfare Board newspaper that came out once a month, I think, and the middle sheet used to be book reviews. I remember as a young child, before Bar Mitzvah, I used to read the book reviews to see what's doing in the world, what new books came out. So I remember many years ago, I must have been before Bar Mitzvah, I seem to remember, they had a book review of the book, The Last of the Just, which was a historical novel about what life was like in the days of the second Beis HaMikdash based on Josephus. Everything was supposed to be cleared by Josephus. So in the book, I never read the book, but I read the book review. So in the book, he quotes that on Pesach night there would be millions of people. The Talmud tells us over 15 million people came. There were millions of people came to participate in Korban Pesach, and after they would finish the Seder, they would go visit each other's homes and make merry. So the one who's writing the review says this is clearly incorrect. It can't be that such a thing appears in Josephus. It's against the Pasuk in Chumash. It says in the Torah that after you finish eating the Korban Pesach, al yetzi ish mimkomo, no one is allowed to leave his house till the morning. Right? So how can it be that in the days of the Beis HaMikdash the people would visit each other and make merry? It cannot be. So I remember as a child before my mitzvah laughing in my heart, this is ridiculous. That Pasuk was a special din only by the Korban Pesach Mitzrayim. It never appeared in never applied in the later generation. The Mishnah and the Tosefta give you a list of dinim that only applied in the days of the Pesach Mitzrayim and didn't apply to later generations. That's one of the dinim. Al Yetzish min Pesach Beisad Boker was only with respect to the Pesach Mitzrayim. And by us, if we want to, those who finish at 4 o'clock in the morning, you can go make merry by your neighbors. They may be sleeping. By us, people are so tired, it takes so long. Who's going to go visit anybody else on Leil HaSeder? But al pi halacha, if a person wants to go visit someone else, he's allowed to go out of his house. The din doesn't apply to zman hazeh. There is no such halacha. Why do we recite Nishmas Kol Chai? The accepted opinion is that we say both. We say you have a lucha at the conclusion of the halal, and we say Nishmas Kol Chai as well. The Rav Soloveitchik explained that immediately before Yitzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, before the beginning of Chumash Shmos, he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to be the shliach, I want you to speak to Paro to let the Jewish people go free. And he tells him, when I speak to the Jewish people, whom should I say sent me? So he says, Eker Asher Eker. That's one of the seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're not allowed to pronounce. Eker Asher Eker. So Rashi quotes from the Talmud, what is the meaning of the name Eker Asher Eker? So it means, Eya Imoim Begul Azu. I will be with the Jewish people now to redeem them from Mitzrayim, Mitzias Mitzrayim. They Imoim, and I will redeem the whole Jewish people later. I'll redeem the whole world in the future. The Gula Hasida. So Moshe Rabbeinu was told already prior to Mitzias Mitzrayim that there's going to be a Gula Hasida, that the Rebbe Shalom created the world, and we look around, what in the world did he create such a miserable world for? The Rebbe Shalom only does good things. Kol Ma'adav Rachmana L'Tavav, he does wonderful things. He created a world that's terrible. People are killing each other. The world looks like it's going to explode. Everything's going to rip apart. So the Rebbe Shalom said, no, trust me, there's going to be a Gula Hasid that's going to redeem the whole world. Everything will be wonderful. So on Pesach night, we not only celebrate the fact that there was a Yetzias Mitzrayim in the past, and b'chol davar darchai v'adam liras esas mekilu hu yatsam in Mitzrayim. We have to have the sense and the feeling as if we just left Mitzrayim tonight. We sing the Shmas Kol Chai Tevorach Hashim Hashem Alakeinu. We are already celebrating and reciting Yeshira in anticipation of the Gula Hasida, because this was prophesied, this prophecy was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in connection with the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we're already celebrating in advance, singing in advance of the Gula Hasida, when all of mankind will praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the Gula Hasida. Yeah, the problem is that there are some evil, wicked people who want to kill and destroy and burn down the whole world. So the Baruch Shalom is going to wait to do the Gula Hasida when all of mankind will recognize him, so he can wait forever. So before we get to Nishmas Kol Chai, we open up the door and we say, Shvar Hamas Chalagai Mashalo Yidohucha. Tirdof B'yafis Tashmidim Yitach Hashem. Hey, Hashem, what is that all about? We don't want to punish the goyim. We want the Rebbeinu Shalom to bring the Gula Hasida, but he's only going to bring the Gula Hasida when all of mankind will recognize him. So we say, Rebbeinu Shalom, give us a break. There are a couple of Rishoyim Arurim that cursed the people who are never going to recognize you. So we pray to the Rebbeinu Shalom, he should get rid of those Miyuta de Miyuta, he should get rid of those people who don't want to accept his kingdom, and he should bring the Gula Hasida. So the Shvar Chamos Chal HaGoyim is on the Miyuta of people who don't want to recognize God. He should get rid of them in order to enable the Gula Hasida to come. That's the introduction to Nishmas Kol Chai. We hope and pray for the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem all of mankind, and we will all be able to sing together Nishmas Kol Chai. Rav Soloveitchik, every year in the yeshiva, would run through the Haggadah and have very fascinating comments. So he used to point out on Manishtana, that on Pesach night, the mitzvah of Tzipi Tzias Mitzrayim is different from the regular mitzvah every night of the Chiras Tzias Mitzrayim. So we mentioned earlier that, first of all, Kalamar Belisapa Hareza Meshubach, we should tell the story Barichas, as opposed to every night we just tell the story Bekitzer. And on Pesach night, we should tell the story La'acherim, tell it over to others, not just like every night we just say Vayoyma, the third parish in Shema, we say to ourselves. Pesach night, we should tell to others. And it should be by way of questions and answers. So the questions and answers should really revolve about all of the mitzvahs alayla. So we have in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, the main question was, why do we eat broiled meat? Alayla zeh kulo tzli. As man as that we don't eat korban Pesach, so we leave out that mitzvah regarding Pesach. So we have a question about matzah, we have a question about moror. So two of the fear kashas, they're not really kasha, is a contradiction. It's not really a fear kasha, it's a misnomer in Yiddish, it's four shilas. So two of the four shilas, it used to be three of the four shilas, it used to be five shilas, the days of the Tanai. So three used to be on Pesach matzah mar. Today we don't have Pesach, so today we say matzah mar. One of the other two shilas that we ask, so one of the shilas is about misubim, hasebas and mitzvah midirabana. How come we don't ask a question about the fear, abakaisis? Abakaisis is also a mitzvah. One of the mitzvahs in the Rabbanah. So Deitchi was fond of saying over the interpretation that's given by the standard in the Farshim, that if you look in the Rambam has the mitzvah to have arba kaisis goes together with the mitzvah of haseba. We drink l'chaim four times, we have arba kaisis to demonstrate that we are b'nei charim, we're toasting to our freedom. And the mitzvah to lean over, to recline when we eat the matzah, when we drink the cups of wine, is also to demonstrate that we have been a charis. So the Rambam writes, "B'chol davador chayiv adam laharis esatzma." Every person has to liris esatzma. That's a mitzvah in Torah. Laharis esatzma to demonstrate that he's a ben charis. That's a mitzvah in the Rabbanon. So the two ways to fulfill that mitzvah in the Rabbanon, the two parts are: one part is haseba, to eat the matzah in a reclining position. The other part is to drink the four cups of wine. So when we say the question about the mesubin, so that covers the mitzvah of arba kaisis as well. What's the mitzvah about matbilin? What's matbilin all about? Matbilin is also a mitzvah, that you're dipping carpet into salt water. That's a mitzvah. So Absolvechik used to explain, either it's an allusion to the dipping into the haroses on the assumption that haroses is a mitzvah. We mentioned earlier that that's a dispute among the Tanaim. Blessed but Rapsodik says that to dip the maror into the haroses is a mitzvah mid the Rabbanim. Either zecher letit, or zecher letapuach, or zecher ledam, zecher to something. So the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah follows the opinion of Rav Lezer Rav Tzadik that Haraitis is a mitzvah. So the Matbilin is either an allusion to that mitzvah, or if one should assume like the others, the Rambam in his commentary on Mishnah says we don't pass on like Rav Lezer Rav Tzadik or Haraya. The Rambam says there is no Hagod in the world that has a bracha shekedishanim and mitzvot of tibano in connection with the Haraitis. So the Rambam in the Tirish on Mishnah thinks that we don't accept the opinion of Rav Lezer Rav Tzadik. Haraitis is only for health purposes. So what mitzvah are we referring to when we speak about the matbilin? Because it would appear that the four questions that we begin Haggadah with are questions regarding the mitzvahs alayla. In the days of the bayis, they used to ask Pesach matzah u'maror, and then the other mitzvahs. So what mitzvah is matbilin? So he said, when you look in the Rambam writes that when you eat karpas, you have to dafki eat a kazayis. In the Shulchan Aruch it says you should dafki not eat a kazayis. We explained before. Because there's a shaila whether the Bar Pi Adoma over Karpas covers the Moror, or no, it's such a long Ariches, it's a Hesach Hadas. So there's a suffix why they have to say Bar Nefoshes if you eat the Karpas. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch recommends in the name of the Maharam Ritzmer, you should eat less than a Kazai. But the Rambam writes not so. The Rambam was before Maharam Ritzmer. He says you should dafki eat a Kazai. What's that? The Karpas has no role. So the Rambam Karpas is just in order to maintain the interest of the children. That normally when you say Kiddush, you go, you wash, you say Amoytzi right away. And tonight we're dipping karpas into salt water. So that's just to keep the interest of the children. So what kind of a mitzvah is karpas? And the Rambam says, whatever the reason why the rabbis introduced karpas, but bottom line it's a mitzvah sachila. So the Rambam holds you have to have a kazai. So Absolvechik thought perhaps that's the meaning. That's why we mentioned matbilim, midirabbanon, they introduced karpas as a mitzvah midirabbanon. I mentioned earlier that the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Tzipi Tzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night was instituted by the Tanoim, perhaps earlier by the Anshei Tzinis HaGdolah. The Mishnah says we should recite Arami Avidovi, which is the Mikra Bikurim, and Darish is kala parsha kula. We should give drushes. Drushes means we take the psukim and we show the inner meaning, the hidden meaning of the pasuk. So that's what the Rav Soloveitchik was fond of pointing out. The commentaries explain, they explain each time we say kamosha nemar, we're adding something onto the simple meaning of the pasuk. We wouldn't have thought that's what it meant. Take for example, Arami Ovid Ovi. It's not a difficult pasuk. So we explained that refers to Lovin Bikish Lakar Sakol. Arami, Lovin Harami, wanted to kill Yankov Avinu. One would not have necessarily interpreted Pshat like that. The Ibn Ezra interprets Arami Ovid Ovi. My grandfather was a wandering Aramean. He doesn't interpret Arami, Lovin Harami, wanted to wipe out Yankov Avinu. So the Haggadah, the Baal Haggadah says, no, that's the Pshat we're interpreting. And so on, by Yerid Mitzrayma, what motivated Yankov Avinu to leave Eretz Yisrael? He should have stayed in Eretz Yisrael. So the answer is, Anos al pi adibur. Normally a person should live in Eretz Yisrael. We should all be living in Eretz Yisrael. What are we all doing in America? So here, we say, by Yerid Mitzrayma, he had no choice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you must go down to Mitzrayim, because Yosef is stuck in Mitzrayim, and the unity of the Jewish people is more important than the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. If Yosef has no berry, he has to live in Mitzrayim. So the Rabban Shalom told Yankovin, you also have to go down to Mitzrayim. But on his own, he would not have left Eretz Yisrael. We should know on our own, we should all live in Eretz Yisrael. Then we said, Vayogasham. What do you mean, Vayogasham? Vayoga means temporary living. He didn't plan to live there permanently. He only wanted to live in Chutz Lo'etz temporarily. It says in the Sefer Hasidim, I live in New York City. I live in Washington Heights, but every so often I go visit Borough Park, Flatbush. You see these big mansions that the Jewish people built there. You see a private home. It looks like a school. It looks like a hospital or something. They built stone edifices like they plan to live there for 1,000 years. So the Sefer Hasidim says if a Jew lives in a chutzlort and he builds a home, he should build a wooden home. If you buy a home, you buy whatever you buy, but you shouldn't build a brick home like you plan to live there forever and ever. So that's what we should have in mind. By Yoga Shom, when Yankov Avinu went down to Egypt, only to live there temporarily. We should all realize that we don't belong here. We all belong in Eretz Yisrael. And so on and so forth. All of the comments that we give, Vayareu Aysonu Hamitzrim, Kamosha Nema. What do you mean, Vayareu Aysonu? It doesn't say Vayareu Lanu, that they were mean to us. They claim that we were bad. The Egyptians said that we are not good citizens, that we want to rebel, we're going to run away. So we cut Vayarei Waisanu, Kimoshe Nemar, so we quote the Pasuk, Pentekrena Mohammed Nasav Kamuel Sanenu. Every time we quote Kimoshe Nemar, we're giving an interpretation of the phrase that appears in the Arami Ovid Ovi, in the Mikron Bikurim. We're not giving the Pshuta Shalmikur, that's what the word Rosha means. So that's Kedai, it's really a value to go through the psukim with the commentary of the Tanoim in order to fulfill this Takanas Chachamim properly, that the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Sifri Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night is by combining Torah Shebichtav with Torah Shebaalpeh, a special form of Liban HaTorah, to recite the Arami Ovid Ovi, the Mikra Bikurim, and then to give the comments of the Torah Shebaalpeh on each phrase of the pasuk. I thank you very much, and I want to wish everybody a Chag Kosher Sameach.
If anyone wants to ask a question, we'll take one or two questions. Anybody? Okay, thank you very much. And please, once again, please take the evaluation sheet and a keychain and give me the evaluation sheet or send it in, because it's very important for the grant for Yeshiva University.
Back of the back of the stuff. Can you see him kind of turn it off?